Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was going to do a program yesterday because I did have the day off, but there was a lot of news flowing in and I didn't want to miss anything really critical. And now it finally slowed down just for a bit. Praise God. So anyway, Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that anything that we have incorrect in accordance with 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing yet as they ought to know. Father, we just praise you and we pray in Jesus' name that anything that we have a misconception of, anything that is doesn't fit within the harmony of your holy will, we know that we're never going to be correct about everything. There's always going to be a margin of error. And we just pray that it will just melt away into a deep blue sea of your forgiveness and forgetfulness. And anything that needs to embed into the hearts and minds of those who are listening, we pray in Jesus' name that it will motivate them. They will get ready because the time is very short. We see it. We hear it coming from your servants, the prophets, and we just pray. You. We know that we're Burger King generation, Father. We are. We want to pull up to that window and we want pickles and lettuce and we want it just how we want it and we want it in seconds. And Father, we know that that's not how the kingdom works. And we just pray in Jesus' name, Father, as much as we would like to leave for a Shavuot wedding, counting of the Omer and Pentecost in June of this year, supported by more than just a single vision, but an awful lot of incredible supernatural events that have been happening, including the one that happened to me, and including the one that happened to Brother Chamil over in Antwerp. All right, praise God, Belgium. So praise you, Jesus, Father. We just thank you, and we just pray that you will anoint people and touch them in a way that, in a manner that is within perfect harmony of your will. Get us ready and help us, Father, to pray always to be counted worthy. In accordance with Matthew 18:19, Jesus, you promised us where two or more are gathered together here on this earth. Anything that we ask for will be given to us, and we're holding that dear to our hearts, and we pray together, Luke 21:36, that we are to pray always to be counted worthy, not that we are, not that we could be by our own accord, but counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, which could be anywhere, could not be anywhere but at the wedding supper. We praise your name, Jesus, and we cannot wait to stand before you. Father, help people to understand that he who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous, 1 John 3:7. Help people to understand that if we confess of our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Doesn't give us an excuse for willful and habitual sin, but it's a promise that we all need because we all make mistakes. Help us to understand what King David cried out to you in regard in Psalm 51. Wash us with your hyssop. Make us whiter than snow. Our sin is always before us, and in sin our mothers conceived us. We praise your name, and we thank you for your incredible mercy that clearly, clearly does endure forever. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. Amen. All right, let's go right into the news because, my goodness, we got an awful lot. Let's hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
Wrong. It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
All right, praise God. So the things that were happening yesterday morning as I was doing my doom scrolling and preparing for the next show were alarming and troubling. And I was kind of creeped out, quite honestly. But today I feel much better rested. Thank you, Jesus. And I haven't seen quite as horrific a collection of news reports as I was seeing yesterday. So I figured today would be an outstanding. I've waited long enough anyways. Like I said, I really wanted to do one yesterday. And I still got some more time off. Praise God. My boss was very, very kind to me, which of course means he's going to throw me underwater holding a 40-pound deadlift weight as soon as I get back to work. But anyway, praise God. So kids, are you ready? If I don't do at least one kid's joke, Mary Lee's gonna, her head's gonna pop off and she'll be chasing it like the headless horseman down the street. Kids, all right. Kids, what do you call a bunch of chess players bragging about their games in a hotel lobby? Chestnuts boasting in an open foyer. Foyer. You just got to slightly mispronounce it to make it come together. Come on, kids. Give me a little bit of it. Give me some love. All right. We'll take that. Praise God. And on that note, let's go ahead and just absolutely immerse ourselves into endless, crazy end times, well, reports. Here we go.
Not normal.
All right. So there has been a continued surge. Alex Jones is one of them. There's others that we know oh so well that are joining in of people debunking the alien nature of what we're looking at. And I'm here to reverse that thought. For the last 15 years, I have been reading books, documentaries, studying Phil Schneider. I've immersed myself. One of them, the number of books, the depth of the books, the fact that many of them were unbelievers, the fact that we brought on authors of books through Preston Dennett, who had come on the show. The amount, 200 radio shows that we did with Lauren Peterson called the Peterson Chronicles every Saturday morning since about 2011. I would suppose we ran all the way up to 2019, 2020, 2021, maybe stopped around 2019 on the Saturday shows. But there was a point where I had taken my book, which is impossible to find, and read about the various different species of fallen angelic beings. It's important, again, to note that fallen angelic beings, okay, those are in host bodies. It's like that which energizes us. And, of course, it's different for those creatures that are twice dead, okay? They, like the giants in the Book of Giants and others, you kill them, and yes, they die. So their host body dies, and the giant drops over and dies and bleeds out. But then it immediately goes, because it's twice dead, it's cursed by God. It immediately goes into the demonic ether, the spiritual realm, and becomes a demon. There is no opportunity for it to be saved by the blood of Jesus. It's cursed. All right, so anyway, that's very important to know. And once you do know that, then you understand why the scripture talks about, as a matter of fact, I wanted to come forward and admit I kept on dorking it up. Sometimes I get stuck in my head, like Jeroboam. He gets stuck in my head over and over again, and I keep on thinking that it was Jeroboam's people that were doing, you know, drink offerings and grain offerings on the tops of their homes to the host of heaven. Well, I was actually incorrect about that. I did some digging, which I need to do more frequently. The problem is there's so many topics and thousands of verses that it's very hard for me to sort out what it is I'm going to look up. I wish I had like everything cataloged, like here are the alien verses, here's the Apocrypha alien verses. Again, it's really important about 2 Esdras 15 verse 28. You want to look that up on the web from sacred-texts. Sacred-text. The other translations dork it up something fierce. But if you get it from Sacred-Text, which, by the way, was one of the first places on the internet that you could get a hold of all the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha online, they're absolutely stellar. And their translations are, in my opinion, pretty much perfect. All right. And yes, in the 1611 King James Bible, we did have first and second Esdras, and it was removed by the Vatican, you know, at some point in their evil existence, which I'm not sure exactly when, and I don't really care. The fact that it was in the original 1611 King James speaks volumes. There were 13 other books that were in the original 1611 King James that were removed. The Book of Jubilees is explicitly mentioned inside the 66 book canon, 31,102 verses from the Textus Receptus, and we know as a fact, just by simple intellectual deduction, that many books of the Apocrypha are almost beyond any shadow of a doubt, they are anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have been ripped off. Don't even get me going on the 22 books that are mentioned inside the Holy Bible, the 66 book canon, which, by the way, that number troubles me, and it ought to, and it ought to trouble you too. But anyway, there's 22 books that are mentioned in the Holy Bible that are not to be found anywhere. Don't even get me going on the Testament of Reuben, the Testament of Amoron that talks about the reptilians. You there, you have eyes like a viper. We have been made the Lord over men. You know, the information is so unbelievable. No wonder the Vatican and all their Satanism and evil catacombs and murdering babies and initiating the Illuminati at the age of 12. No wonder they're as evil and dark as they actually are. Thank goodness for people like Father Malachi Martin, who came out and wrote books about them and opened our eyes, at least to a tiny little bit of the level of darkness that we're dealing with. Don't even get me going on the Black Pope and the Jesuits and all that other stuff. The stuff we're talking about here is so sickening, so twisted, that you do not want to repeat it. Okay, what I have said thus far is as far as I will go, but there's stuff that's a lot more sick and twisted than what I've mentioned so far. All right, praise God. So the first thing I wanted to do is put to rest forever these wild notions that people are so quickly apt to believe. It breaks my heart. It really, really does. It breaks my heart. First, I'd like to say that I've been studying aliens. I've been studying alien spaceships. I've been studying species of fallen angelic beings and their characteristics the things that they had reported in Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, which basically means people had met them in person. That was collected in the book that I have by Maximilian de Lafayette, which is entitled, and I'm pulling it out right now because it's got a long title, which is entitled UFOs, Aliens, Impregnated Women, Extraterrestrials, and God, Sex with Reptilians, Aliens, Motherhood in the Bible, and Abductions and Hybrids. It has the first third of the book is pretty much broken down into the various many different species of fallen angelic beings. And again, the term angel just simply means messenger class. They are all sons of God, but these are cursed. These are the ones that Satan brings the one third down to the earth when God says you are now cast down to the earth. This is captured in Revelation chapter 12 in the sense of a metaphor. It is also captured in another metaphor in Revelation chapter 6 verses 12, 13, where it says, and the stars will fall from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. I just watched a movie yesterday called Extinction. It stars Michael Pena. Now it ends kind of weird with a little bit of an AI twist, and I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I will say the very beginning of the movie, the first half of it, is absolutely to a T. It is so perfect. It is to a T. All right. And I do want to add that to my list. Hold on just a second here. Extinction with Pena. All righty. There we go, Michael Pena. So that one there, what's really fascinating is in the very beginning when the aliens start to arrive in the particular city that they're in, guess what he sees? White orbs. Just like what everybody's seeing above New Jersey and everywhere else, in China and above all the military bases, all the no-fly zones that were set up, the commentaries by the pilots with the tower over Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The list is just unbelievable. It's so vast. I mean, it's so vast it would take like an hour to just go through every single one of the lists of pilots and various airlines and the NOTAMs and all the things that have been done, the sending of military and law enforcement based drones, real, you know, Earth technology up to go get them, and then to have the things just fall, you know, their engines would shut down, which is what happens with these things. That's why I tell everybody you've got to watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or else you will have no idea what's going on. Also, watch the movie Fire in the Sky. Very good. It did happen. There was a book written about it. This is in the newspapers if you want to do some research, and what he went through was absolutely horrible. All right, so these are some pretty filthy, horrible creatures, and not too far from some of the things that you see in the movie War of the Worlds. Really super deep, dark, creepy stuff. Battle LA, another movie that has meteors, stars falling from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind, without warning, now the end begins. You've got A Quiet Place, Day One. Yep, yet another movie that just recently came out that starts out with, stars falling from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. All right, so how am I going to put to rest all of these claims of things like Project Bluebeam or these are demons? Okay, first and foremost, they're not demons. Okay, you can't kill demons. Okay, you can't. You can shoot at them all you want to, but spiritual beings cannot be killed. Period. End of story. The difference between a spiritual being, we'll use angels in this particular case, when it says in the book of Hebrews, be careful who you entertain because you might unwittingly entertain an angel, okay, that is nothing. That particular manifestation of an angel is nothing like the men angels that went into Lot's house. Okay, there was no similarities whatsoever. In that particular case, the spirit angel incarnated into a human being. You must go to Freevee or Tubi or whatever and look up Starman with Jeff Bridges, all right, and you will see, guess what, an orb. You will see his spaceship being taken down by the military, and then out of the spaceship will go an orb. They've even come out on Twitter and said that they believe that inside these orbs are beings. One person had used a super zoom lens and zoomed right in and gotten a good shot, and sure enough, there was a gray in the driver's seat. Okay, so, and I hate grays. I hate them so much. But anyway, so it's really important to understand the difference between host beings and spirit beings, which, by the way, is captured on tribulationnow.com. In the text, which I have, and wow, isn't that fascinating? It just jams things in your face. Don't you love that about all the internet sites? They will not let you just look at what you want to look at. They force you to, they take things and shove it in their way and until you got to play with it to make it go away, because they want to capture your attention. They so desperately want you to buy what they have to buy. All right, praise God. So anyway, on the one with the guy speaking before Congress, never mind all of the experts that were brought before Congress that said there are UBEs, unidentified biological entities. Okay, they are stored on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That's not the only place. Robert Vandreas Mitchell had mentioned there's another deep underground base that they have in Utah right now. They're not using Dulce as much, he says. I don't know. I've never been there, but I have read a lot of books on it. All right, so here's the thing that you want to think about. First and foremost, I have studied Project Bluebeam until I was blue in the face. I understand that barium and strontium and aluminum particles are what they're spraying in our atmosphere, and we would like to believe, and there's so many people that don't want to believe aliens. They don't want to believe in the existence of aliens, and they're so desperate not to that they will do anything. They will latch on to the most ridiculous story. They will believe that there is a big ship out in the Atlantic Ocean that's owned by Iran, and it's launching drones over New Jersey. This stuff is borderline total brain fail. Okay, we're talking about you can't believe those kinds of things unless you have brain damage, okay, or you're in a total state of denial, okay, and that's terribly unfortunate. And unfortunately, a lot of people that are very well known, some are well known as Christians, I doubt their Christianity in a major way, and I will not say why, and I will not mention their names, but I know a lot about them. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and I hope that they repent of the things that they're doing on this earth. I hope that they will repent of the things that they are selling on this earth. I hope that they will repent of these things, because these things will send a lot of people straight to the pit. All right. And Psalm 66:18 says, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. All right. Enough said. Case closed. Jury dismissed. All right. So anyway, okay. So blue beam, the concept of blue beam is that they sprinkle particles in the air, okay, and then they use satellites with lasers to create fake alien objects, okay, and if you study upon it, you can find a paper from the RAND Corporation, who's deep into this stuff, like Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, very deep black slate operations, unidentified special access programs, very, very creepy dark stuff, okay, and you can find a white paper that talks about high field of view satellite laser, okay, and there's and with the barium and strontium and aluminum particles in the air, okay, never mind the poisoning it does to us and all the other stuff, okay, they're supposedly able to make, you know, really big spaceships and things like that appear in our sky and trick everybody into believing that there's a fake alien invasion. Here's the problem. The problem is what's known as counterintelligence. Counterintelligence, the way that it works is that they take an FBI man, who you probably already heard, say that they're going to do a fake alien invasion. They take people like the head of rocketry that they stole from, I'm trying to remember his name, from Operation Paperclips. What they do is they get them to promulgate, to broadcast, to tell everybody that this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a fake alien invasion. And they get them to tell it to everybody. They get them to go to you on YouTube. Okay, Werner von Braun or whatever, okay? He's another one. I can mention a whole bunch of other people. Some of them are Christians, and I'm not going to do that. But here's the thing. That's how counterintelligence works. They want the people that have the high levels of credibility to go out there and tell people that they're going to be fake, okay? They want everybody to think they're fake. Fake, 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 fake. So they tell the people in the FBI. They tell the people like Werner von Braun, go out and tell them this. Go out and tell them that. And they go out and they tell everybody, they get the stuff, their secretaries go out, they speak on a circuit long after they're dead, they're telling the whole world it's going to be a fake alien invasion. That's part of the counterintelligence. It's not. I knew a long time ago that Project Blue Beam would not work, and I'll tell you why. Because there are Caribbean islands, and the state of Florida is another one that has the Caribbean breeze that blows them away. We don't have chemtrails in Florida. There might be some up around Tallahassee, maybe around the Ocala area where you have a little bit of landmass that's higher than 2 foot above sea level, but the reality is no chemtrails here. Why? Because the Caribbean breeze that blows back and forth through the Caribbean and over into the Gulf of Mexico blows the doggone things away immediately. We always have gorgeous blue skies. They won't work in Florida. Oh, and by the way, Florida is getting hit with gazillions of the little orbs and gazillions of the spaceships that are... And isn't it interesting that when the spaceships change, when they shapeshift into an airplane, they never have an engine? They never have an engine. They flip a switch that sounds like an engine to the people on the ground and tricks them, but they don't have an engine. Whether they're faking being in a drone, whatever the case may be, it's irrelevant. I've known about the alien spaceships shape-shifting into other earthly ships for well over 12 years now. There's a pastor who I will leave nameless. He did some work on Lucifer Revealed and stuff like that. I talked to him on the phone. I've seen several of his, if I would finally clean up my office and dig out some of the DVDs that I have, hundreds of them. I got to find the ones that I want to find. But I spoke to this pastor on my cell phone. We had a long conversation. He had done several documentaries and had just filmed a documentary down in New Orleans. And he had the media camera pointed directly up into the clouds. And he said, watch them. Watch them. See? They're coming out of the clouds right now. But watch. They're going to shapeshift into a jet airliner. And sure enough, right on the camera, they shifted into a jet airliner. This is like 10 years ago, folks. And then he looked at the camera and he said, this is a pastor, Pentecostal pastor. He looks at the camera and he goes, and they're not all the bad guys. I had a conversation with him over 4 hours on the phone. We talked about all kinds of things. All right. Now, do you think if they went to the trouble of digging up an innumerable number of tons of barium and strontium and polluted our skies with aluminum particles all over the world, do you really think the best they could do is a couple of lights in the sky? Really? That's about the saddest show I have ever seen. If going through untold trillions of dollars worth of chemtrails all over the world, the very best they could do was a couple of lights bobbing back and forth across the sky. That is a testimony of deep. It's sad. It's just too sad for words. If that's the best that power, signs, and lying wonders out of 2 Thessalonians 2 can do, if that's the best that these otherworldly beings can do, then how sad is that? Who could possibly be afraid of anything like that? How can they tell us that they are our creators when the best they can do is put a little light in the sky that goes bing, 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 and then turns into a drone? Oh, I'm so afraid. Oh, come on. If you knew what they could do with lasers inside of clouds, they don't even need barium and strontium. They can do it inside of clouds. Okay, what these people want you to believe is that they have tens of thousands of satellite lasers up in the orbit around the Earth, and they are able to, you know, convince us that there's a fake alien invasion. Well, they're doing the most pathetic, humiliating job that any of the smartest scientists in the world could even think of. It's embarrassing. They might as well pack up and go home. No one's going to believe it. You still got people out there going, they're drones, they're this, they're that, whatever, you know, and it's just like, what? Is that the best you can do? Really? I've been seeing these same orbs, which are, of course, in the Starman movie with Jeff Bridges, which evidently teletransport, and they didn't. And interestingly, they got... See, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the movie come first? See, a lot of people think, and I used to think so too, that the movies were programming us. No, that's not how it works. The Robert Ludlum novels about the Bourne identity were written because Robert Ludlum was meeting people down in Naples, Florida, nearby his house, that were in the CIA, and they were ratting out the Black Ops under code names to Robert Ludlum, and he would write down the information, then he would create a book about, you know, the Bourne identity or whatever the case is, and he would take the information that he got from the CIA agents, and then he would turn it into a novel. Which, of course, later, you know, long after his suspicious death, when they killed him by lighting his house on fire, okay, he started leaking too much information and they didn't like it anymore. So they killed him. They murdered him down in Naples. It says in Wikipedia, because of a suspicious fire. No, it was a murder. Death by suicide. So just the insanity of how pathetic this whole thing is. If that's the best the aliens can do, they might as well just pack up, go home, and don't bother us. Because you're a bunch of, your mental deficiency is what you are. You need to get out of here because you're wasting all of our time. Oh, I believe it. I believe it's from Iran. It must have been from Iran. I think I saw one of the mullahs flying a spaceship. Yeah, that's the ticket. No, I don't think so. Common sense. That's all it takes. Okay, another reason why we know that they are not from any kind of faked alien invasion. Underwater UFOs. I've known for years and years and years and years and years, well over a decade, that they have huge underwater bases. I've studied, super soldiers. And some of the testimonies of the super, James Cabot, for example, I believe is his name, I'd have to go back and look it up. His very lengthy testimony about the time that he spent in the deep underwater bases. They're humongous. They have aliens walking around, just as plain as day. They're everywhere. And these are huge. These aren't small. This isn't like a little six-story building, folks. It's like a city underwater. People think that they hide underwater because they're trying to hide from mankind, and they came from the inner earth and all this other stuff, because heaven forbid that there could be any life in the universe. God has to be smashed into a 12-ounce soda can. There can't be life anywhere out in the universe. God's just not that big. He created it all so it would look pretty for us. Jiminy crickets. There are gigantic underwater kingdoms, cities. And yes, they go down there, of course. You can't make a high field of view laser replica work underwater. Doesn't work. So underwater UFOs cancel out the very idea that Blue Beam could have anything to do with it. It doesn't work underwater. Period. Okay. All right. So if you could see what they can do with lasers, they can make it look like a George Lucas film. Absolutely to a T. It looks like a live George Lucas film. The ships are just as detailed. It's amazing what they can do with lasers today. And what are we seeing? A couple of little dots floating across the sky. I'm so afraid. No, I'm not. It's the same stuff I've been studying now for over 15 years. It's what they do. There is a mothership up there. I have videos of huge motherships. And without perspective, you can't exactly tell how big they are. I've had people go, wow, that one looks really big. It could be as big as a bus. And I'm like, there is no perspective. You don't know how far away it is. It could be 28, 30 miles in diameter. And then they're like, oh, yeah, there's no perspective. There's no context in the video. Correct. That's how big they could be. All right. We seem to think that we have the ability to spot something on the horizon and tell how wide it is. We don't. Period. We don't. These things could be enormous. In the book, I think it was like Adventures of Star People or whatever. Let me see if I can open up my Kindle and give you the exact. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose my place. I have so many windows open. Here, let me shrink this down. Okay, it doesn't want to. Here's my Kindle. All right, so I'm going to open up my Kindle and give you the name of the book that is no longer in print and costs a small fortune to get a hold of, if you can get a hold of it. Let me just see if I can view my library. And I have to scan hundreds of books. So just, okay, it's called Encounters with Star People, The Untold Stories of American Indians by a person by the name of Ardy Clark, with an E on the end, A-R-D-Y. Now, that's from the perspective of an unbeliever who was born a Native American Indian and traveled to Navajo bases and Aztec bases and actually got audiences in person with the tribal leaders who were retired. They were very, very elderly at the time. And she would sit down to introduce herself, say, I promise I won't use your name. See, because they don't trust the white man. Still to this day, they don't trust the white man. So they won't tell him nothing. But since she was a Native American Indian, she got their trust right away. And they would explain to her how they would sit at 4 o'clock in the afternoon over a butte, in the Midwest, and they would watch motherships bigger than battleships. And I don't know if you've ever seen a battleship. I'm sorry, not a battleship, an aircraft carrier. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen an aircraft carrier up close. I have. I was on the USS Enterprise. And like John Van Kleck used to say, yes, I needed a spatula to scrape my chin off the ground. It was so huge. It was unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So if we know that what we can do with lasers and we see what's happening right now, you would really have to have had an operation on your gray matter to reduce your ability to think low enough that you could believe that noise. Why would they do something so pathetic? Okay, they wouldn't. All right, same UFOs and spaceships that I saw 15 years ago and what I've been studying for years with the pastor and all that stuff. Same ones. The orbs, Starman, which uses those technologies. Starman, the movie, also uses, it shows you how that they can incarnate into a human body from a piece of DNA. It's really neat. You learn a lot. All right, anyway, there are huge motherships that are showing up right now. In the beginning, they weren't. But now they are, and they're big. And again, without context, without perspective, and when they're way, way, way off on the horizon, there's no way to tell how big they are. But you can tell they're big. They're real big. See, the way it works is very much like the movie Independence Day. So we were talking about Jason Bourne and the Bourne identity. What comes first? The book. The book comes first. The book comes from the people on the inside who are whistleblowers. Then they tell an author. The author writes the book. The book gets released, and then the book gets made into a movie. They love to make it into a movie because if they make it into the movie, people will say things like, "Oh, you watch too many movies. You believe all that stuff is real." They're not greasing the rails. They're not tricking us with satanic stuff. It's not, yes, the Black Ops is involved in Hollywood. Yes. But here's the thing. And I'm sure that there's a little bit of trickery and stuff that goes on in the midst of all of these Satanists. There always is. But the general way that things like this happen, that, you know, when movies like Extinction are made, which start out with little orbs in the sky, And I forget what the name of the person was that Michael Pena played, but he was like pointing up. He's like, "What are those?" And he's pointing to like three little orbs way up in the sky. And right after those three little orbs shows up, stars falling from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. Down come the comets, down come the meteor, and then in comes the massive extinction level event, the alien attack upon mankind. Preceded by three little orbs. Isn't that interesting? What came first, the chicken or the egg? I think we know. Okay, then. So, okay, so another thing. Mall lights flashing, car lights flashing. We don't just have one mall that was doing this strange, spontaneous flashing of street lights and store lights and so many different kinds of lights. They obviously weren't all on the same circuit. And if they were on the same circuit, they would be flashing on and off in synchronicity. On, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. That is not what was happening. It was random. Okay, the street lights were flashing at different times. The lights inside the malls were flashing at different times. The car lights were flashing at different times. That's caused by alien spaceships. That's why I try to beg people to watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But it's in all my books, too. It's a very common happening. Interruption of electronics and electricity, very, very common when the ships are present. You can't always see them. They don't always light up lights. And a lot of times they hide in clouds. And they have cloaking devices. Yeah. To make matters even worse. There is a video out there that I would like to get up on tribulationnow.com. I don't know how much time I want to spend doing this. It just depends. But there is one, and it wasn't just one event. Okay, so it wasn't one guy that was located in Missoula, Montana. No, it's happening to multiple people. Now, so we got the lights that are going on and off, which are could only be alien craft. There's no way to manipulate the circuit breakers to make street lights go on and off at different times and lights inside of stores. That is alien. Okay? Simple as that. You've got that. You've got the coming over radios. Wasn't just one. It was more than one. Two people that didn't even know each other. One person just recently recorded a strange sound that was very much like the Mel Gibson movie Signs. Like that. Coming over their TV. Now you gotta understand, I'm sitting in my bedroom on my prayer chair and I'm looking at these things and I'm listening to these things and I have seen these movies, I've studied this stuff, I know what's going on, and I'm hearing this coming over people's electronic devices and I am starting to get creeped out. All right, it's always interesting to talk about these things, but when they start knocking on your door, well, you know, that ain't cool. We're here. Okay, so we don't want that to happen. And if we're covered in the blood of Jesus and we're declaring the holy fire of God, a thorny hedge of protection, and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow it white hot and to encapsulate our homes, to encapsulate our vehicles, to encapsulate us and to place 8-foot-tall warrior angels to guard us and our loved ones in the name of Jesus, we have that protection. They're not coming anywhere near us. Nowhere near us. All right. So you've got mall lights flashing, car lights flashing, strange voices on TVs and radios, and it's not just one occurrence. And just recently, I believe it was the early part of yesterday, but then it was followed up by the latter part of yesterday by another person. The first one that hit the airwaves, the internetosphere on Twitter, was a man. He had a very, 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 very powerful flashlight. Which, by the way, I just bought one of. Approximately 16,000 lumens is my guess is what he was running. And he was standing outside of his house and he was pointing it up into a tree. It was like a scene out of Predator. Uh-oh, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Ah, the reality is Predator came first. How did the people know that wrote the movie and the screenplay for Predator know that they had the ability to cloak themselves and walk through the trees? How did they know? And why is it that a man was standing there with a 16,000 lumen, flashlight and shining it up in the trees, and he's flipping out, he's saying, oh, Jesus. And he's like, what is that? I can't see it. And it's breaking gigantic branches off of his tree and throwing them down to the ground. The guy was totally flipping out. And so was I. I was like, oh, my gosh. But then another one came, and this man was somewhere else. I don't know. He didn't say, but he was standing outside of his house. He did not have a bright flashlight, but he could hear the branches break, and he could hear something that was behind his house up in the tree, and he was flipping out. What are these things? Are these those? How many different species are visiting us right now? You know, Pastor Augusto Perez was on Tribulation Now, the radio show. And I was talking about the David Doetree large copper spherical Death Star-like mothership that's going to be filmed up in the sky by every TV in the world, about 4 weeks before the rapture occurs. Everybody's going to be freaking out. They're going to be like, oh, no. And David said in his vision, nobody would pay attention to him. This is back in the 90s. No one would pay attention to him. Oh, there's no such things as aliens. David, you got a vivid imagination. That didn't come from God. Or did it? He had prayed for a long time on his knees and beseeched God in tears to please show him the rapture. Well, he saw it. He saw it occur from the backyard of his house, 1 hour south of Tampa. Okay? That means it happens before the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 6. That would be the barley harvest. It's the first one. It's the one we're all shooting for. It's the first watch, which just happens not to be mentioned in Luke 12, 35, 36, 37. Jesus says, he comes back and says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That's a reference to Matthew 25 for crying out loud. And then he says, if you are part of the second watch and I find you watching, blessed are you and I will take you back to eat. And then he says, if you are part of the third watch, blessed are you and I will take you back to eat. Where's he taking us back to eat at? He's taking us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. But he never mentions the first watch. And I don't know if you remember when I got that key, that strange key on my keychain. I was transferring files over to my USB stick and I had my keychain sitting on my desk. And right there, staring right at me, was a strange triangular shaped key and it said right on it, first watch. I freaked out and started crying at my desk. My desk was covered with a huge 4.5, 5, 6 inch across puddle of tears. And then all of a sudden I grabbed this key, mentioned first watch, and I said, Father, please show me, what does this key belong to? I ran all over the house like a crazy person. I was here by myself. I opened every cabinet, every lockbox, everything, and nothing. It wouldn't fit anything. And then all of a sudden I just felt like, go to the garage. And I went into the garage and all of a sudden my eyes locked on this giant luggage carrier that I had bought back during the Deepwater Horizon event, because there were Christians out there telling everybody that they were going to get stopped on I-95 and I-75 and that they would have to get digital IDs put on their bracelets and you wouldn't be able to remove them, and that the entire Gulf Coast was going to go underwater, which of course was a lie. But anyway, I was afraid back then. I wasn't the Christian that I am right now. And back then, and I bought that luggage carrier. I put the things on top of my SUV so that it could fit up there. But at this time, the thing was strapped to the top of my gorilla shelves in the garage. And my eyes locked up onto that luggage carrier. And I said, Lord. And I ran around the back of the car, the SUV, and I stuck it in and I turned it and it opened right up. Do you know what I gave that thing 10 years earlier? What nickname I gave it? The escape pod. If you look at the Hebrew in Daniel 12, where it says, they will be delivered. Look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew meaning, it says, slippery escape. You can't make this stuff up, folks. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyway, I did want to share those things with you. Let me just take a note and see if there's anything else. Okay, so many things that I just gave you that prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're not dealing with Project Bluebeam. I told you about counterintelligence and how they take people like Wernher von Braun and these FBI agents and they give them fake information so that they can come out and tell everybody about it. So when they see the real thing, they think it's fake. Folks, common sense is all that it takes to know. That's not what this is, but not everybody has that. It doesn't matter if they're authors of many books. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean their conclusions are correct. Think about that. Okay, so I'm doing the best I can to use experience, intellectual capacity, stuff that I've read, common sense, critical thinking, to help you understand that the things that these other people are talking about are just, they're not true. They're wrong. We are dealing with them. So when you go to the Bible to read about these things, okay, and let me go ahead and expand this because it's really, really teeny. Okay, so hosts of heaven in the Bible, 2 Kings 21:1-6. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became the king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Verse 3. For he built the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal. He made wooden images. And King Ahab of Israel had done, and he worshipped all of the hosts of heaven. He also built altars to the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of the heaven. Well, if that isn't enough, by the way, I highly recommend you take a look at the videos on here. I'm going to be putting some more up in another article. I just don't know when. Probably within the next day or so, maybe later today. All right. But, oh, why isn't that one work? I've been having some weird. I got to reboot my computer. Now I'm going to read to you the Seven Thunders vision. Okay, this was from God's Healer 7, Sister Barbara and Brother Dan. Sister Barbara happened to be, I'm telling you the whole story in high speed. Sister Barbara was down in her kitchen just, you know, flitting about and probably making scrambled eggs and something for breakfast. But Brother Dan hadn't come downstairs yet. And she was talking to the Lord and saying, Jesus, you know, it says in Revelation about the seven thunders, and it says that you're not going to release what they actually are until the very end. And she says, Lord, aren't we at the very end right now? Can't you tell me what they actually are? Then she went back to her pancakes and scrambled eggs or whatever it was she was doing in the kitchen. All of a sudden, Brother Dan comes running down the stairs of their house, and he says, honey, you're not going to believe it. I just got a prophecy about the seven thunders. And she's flipping out, and she's running all around the kitchen going, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He had no idea what she was talking to the Lord about. Now, I'm going to read to you the seven thunders vision from Brother Dan. This, by the way, is way over 10 years old. From the Father, quote, be of great vigilance, for the thunders approach. Although the hosts that are aliens inside of bodies, shall lead the battle, the thunders shall follow. That means that they are spirit beings, very much like the angel that visited Daniel, freaked him out. Eyes like thunder, or eyes like lightning, face like barrel. It's freaked out Daniel so bad he was like, and he flew up in the air and he flopped. He did a belly whopper right on the ground. He was so freaked out. And the angel's like, do not be afraid. And Daniel, I'm sure, turned around and said, "You got to be kidding me." That's what I would have done if I could have talked at all. Oh, well, anyway. It says, shall lead the battle, and the host will lead the battle. What are those hosts? What are they? Are they the dragons of Arabia that fly in many chariots like the wind, and all them that see them will fear and tremble? Out of the book of 2 Esdras, chapter 15, verse 28. And then Carmangians come. Who are the Carmangians? They're another species of beings. Well, when we were talking about the David Doetry copper ball that shows up supposedly about 4 weeks before the rapture, when we're supposed to be buying food when everybody else is flipping out, we mentioned that on the show with Pastor Augusto Perez, who said, "I was given a vision of the same ship." And I was like, "No way." And he's like, "Yeah, and it had all these different alien spaceships flying around it, many different species." He said it live on Tribulation Now. Pastor Augusto Perez saw it. I mean, I don't know what kind of confirmations you want. But for me, that is, my cup overfloweth so much, I don't even have any doubt in my mind. As a matter of fact, I made a decision. And, you know, if we even get the show back to the point where we're bringing guests on, any guest that even marginally disagrees with me, I'm not bringing them on. Because I'm not introducing any confusion to this information. We do not have time for confusion. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so anyway, it goes on to say, they shall swoop down on their prey like eagles. Well, where are they? In the sky. Do eagles swoop out of a pit? Do eagles swoop out of inner earth? Do eagles swoop out of the ocean? No, they swoop out of the sky, and they shall enter with a deafening roar. Their roar shall pierce the ears of those who await them. Fire shall spew from their lips. Fear shall enter men's hearts. Men's hearts failing them for fear of those things which are coming upon the earth. In Luke. It all stitches together like a perfect, it's like a Robert Ludlum novel. They shall blind all those who look at their presence. All hearts will grow cold. All will look for mercy from them, and none will be found. They have been called to inflict punishment, and they will not disappoint the Father. As the wind blows, so shall they fly, and none will escape their wrath. I don't even need to read the rest of this to you. It's right there on the web, tribulationnow.com. You can read it. Okay, but instead of that, I'm going to go ahead. I'm looking at the time, and I'm not going to be able to get, I'm going to have to do another program, maybe tomorrow, praise God. So maybe we'll just say that this program was dedicated to putting out the notion that it's anything but the real deal, because it is the real deal. The Anunnaki are here. Nibiru, I have photographs of Nibiru taken by cameras right here on Earth on tribulationnow.com. Nibiru comes to the Earth as part of a brown dwarf binary star system with a 3,600-year elliptical orbit. Nibiru and its seven orbiting planets are inside of our solar system right now, and people are taking photographs of it. What does Nibiru bring? It brings the Anunnaki, who believe, which by the way is a class of beings, it's a group of different species that are part of the Anunnaki. It's like saying, hey, you're in the Marine Corps. Oh, okay. But you look a little Vietnamese. Well, I am Vietnamese, but I'm still in the Marine Corps. That's kind of how it works. The Anunnaki are not just a bunch of lizard people. A lot of people think that. That's not true. All right. So anyway, it's important to note that Iran has declared war on Pakistan. It's important to note that Israel says that they are going to level Lebanon, which they've already started doing. It's important to note that the Taliban is starting to war directly against Pakistan. It's important to note that Yemen has bombed Ben Gurion Airport, and they say they're going to continue to bomb Ben Gurion Airport. Israel is on fire. We got Turkey threatening to come in and take over parts of Syria, which would upset Mr. Netanyahu something fierce. Folks, right now, we are talking about World War III. They've already said that they don't think Jordan is going to last. Okay, so everything that was in Brother Nathan and Rabbi Rami Levy about the Arabs fighting one another, it's happening right now. And then eventually they all turn against Israel. And then you got a fulfillment of Luke 21:20, When you see Israel, Jerusalem, surrounded by all of her enemies, don't go back for any clothing. Run for your life. Get out of there as fast as you can. Well, that's going to be hard to do. Going to have to do it in bare feet and suckling your baby because looks like they're taking out Ben-Gurion Airport. All kinds of things are happening right now, folks. The war is escalating like crazy. Don't forget the Baba Vanga, the blind prophet lady. I don't know if she's a Christian or not. I don't know. But she says when Syria, she said when she was, you know, in the 1600s, 1700s, when Syria falls, World War III will start. But what do we got going on right now? Alice Bailey in 1953 said in her memoirs, essentially that the evil will be left upon the earth. Let's see if we can find this real quick. Don't forget this. Oh, I got to hit click to bring it up.
Let me quote the occult world directly. Now,
Walter Veith, Dr. Walter Veith.
Alice A. Bailey, 2025 hierarchy will manifest itself. Now, this is interesting. Now, Alice A. Bailey is basically the prophetess for the United Nations.
Yes.
She is the one that followed Blavatsky.
Yes.
Now, when I was still involved in all of these things, I was pertinently told by one of the highest channels in the world that if you are a student of Blavatsky, then you have arrived.
Yes.
Now, this is a personal experience. And Alice A. Bailey, of course, Temple of Understanding and all of these things in the United Nations, they are schooled. The whole education system is schooled on Alice A. Bailey. Let's have a look at this quote. It comes from her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. Maybe we must explain who the hierarchy is.
Mm-hmm.
The hierarchy are those spiritual master entities that run the world from behind the scenes.
Okay, so essentially that's 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay, Paul smacks around the Thessalonians. They're being naughty. They're eating each other's food. They're busybodying around the place. And he says, stop acting as if the day of Christ has come. You know, that's the only place in the Bible that it talks about the day of Christ. You know why? Because it's talking about the rapture and our calling up unto him. He's talking about the rapture. There's no other phrases like that anywhere else in the Bible. He says it will not happen until first the Antichrist is raised up before all of the people. And power, signs, and lying wonders. And God will send a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. The lie is that they are our creators. There's already all over Twitter, big giant UFO images with laser beams coming down into Mary, you know, and Jesus and Joseph and everything to bring the alien Jesus to the earth. We know that that is not true. We know that it is a lie from the devil. We know that that's what they're going to try to promulgate upon mankind. And a lot of people are going to fall for it. But you also got a whole bunch of dark evil predictions from The Simpsons, too. Let's see here. Let's jump over to this particular place. Cylindrical UFO. Okay, I don't know where the doggone thing cut off, but I noticed in my notes here that Iran was the one that declared war against Israel, not Iraq. Whoa. Now, let's see what that turns into. We don't know. We know that the Yemenis are bombing Israel and it's burning. It's so close to Luke 21:20, it's unbelievable. Elon Musk is now censoring people with right-wing accounts. Donald Trump has invited Bill Gates to Mar-a-Lago. What'd you think for? To make friends? Wow. Bill Gates invited tomorrow to Mar-a-Lago. To the New Year's Eve celebration being held by Donald Trump. Imagine that. Unbelievable. The down trees, so creepy, so predator-like. And now we got the H5N1. There was even a report several months ago, probably about a year ago, that they had spent over $1 million in China to do gain of function on H5N1. And now they're telling everybody that's the next big one. And it's going to be way, way worse. Way worse. Way worse than the last plandemic. H5N1 has never behaved like this, according to this scientist, who is very, very concerned. The reports are they're going to release it right after January 20th. But there's other reports that say they're going to levy the 14th Amendment against Donald Trump. He committed an insurrection, therefore he is unqualified to be the president, and it's going to get ugly. What's going to happen before then? We don't know. But it sure looks like something big might still happen. These next, 20 days, 25 days are going to go by like molasses dripping down a wall. It's going to be incredibly hard to keep our heads together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much weird stuff going on. But anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if I'll have to do a follow-up show. I think I got enough information out for this program. I'm looking over the headlines right now. And other than just putting up a whole bunch of supporting videos that you'll be able to go and watch, I'm pretty sure I hit really the big stuff that we all need to be aware about, aware of, such as, Bill Gates going to the, New Year's Eve celebration of Donald Trump at the behest of his invitation. But I would expect such from somebody who had eyes like a viper. Anyway, God bless you all. Thank you for listening to me, Babylon. Hallelujah. Babylon from Babylon. I'm Babyloning from Babylon the Great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you said you were going to come. You said you were going to hurry before all flesh was destroyed. We pray that that is faster than we can even imagine. In the name of Jesus, hear our prayer. Count us all worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you at the wedding supper. We cannot wait. Could it be June? Shavuot? The counting of the Omer? The sheaves of barley? And the rapture during Pentecost? We sure hope so. Thank you for giving us something to hope for. And keep your head level, because things don't always pan out the way that we hope. And always praise Jesus. Out loud. Play praise music. Worship our Father. Spend lots of time in His presence right now. Dwell in that secret place of the Most High. We need all the protection we can get, and we are awaiting our imminent departure. Thank you, Jesus. The day of Christ and our gathering together unto Him. Hallelujah and praise God. I hope you all have a great rest of the weekend, and I don't know, I might jump back on depending on what happens, but I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you were blessed, and I pray that you continue to be blessed. And I declare the holy fire of God around you all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
us unchanging, untainted, perfect in all your ways.